Oh, the joyous things, the fun things I get to do on a live stream.
So stupid.
You might think so. Let's talk a little bit about the changing seasons and some of the new challenges it can present for, let's start with like a puppy age. We're going to work our way through. Let's see the questions in the chat. We've got our moderation questions open.
Is it one super chat?
Let's answer Dominic's question.
Actually, maybe we can start this. Dominic, if you could also put in the chat, you said still having accidents in the house. We'll read the question in a second. But could you just let us know the age of your puppy?
6 months old.
Oh, 6 months. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. So answering Dominic's super chat. Thank you for the super chat. Dominic says, I have a 6 month old Farahan puppy who still has accidents in the house. Is this normal?
No, it's not normal, Dominic. They can. I shouldn't say should, because it really just depends on us and our training. But you can have puppies that are house trained, you know, by 12 weeks old. Four months old easily, but every dog is a little bit different, and sometimes it depends on sort of what their management is like, or you know, what they feel the rules are. So number one, when it comes to house training, make sure that you have good supervision. So if your feral hound is still having an opportunity to have accidents and you're not seeing that happen, just increasing your supervision to make sure that you're always watching the dog is going to make a huge difference, because then you can catch your puppy in the act of making the error. Now it's impossible to watch them every single second, so we would highly suggest that you utilize a crate or a kennel or a confinement of some sort, so that when you're doing, you know, normal people things and you have to keep your attention away from the puppy, your puppy isn't able to sneak off and have an accident when you're not ready. And then also to be really aware of the times that it could be a possibility that they may have an accident. Maybe it's after they've just eaten. Maybe it's after they've had a big play, or you've trained them, they've had some activity. Being able to predict when it will happen will also give you better timing to stop them when they have that accident, to redirect them. But I think the biggest issue that happens when we have dogs of this age, 6 months old and still having accidents, is too much freedom and not enough management, not enough responsibility put on the dog to let us know when they have to go outside, and too many opportunities to have an accident without us seeing it and then addressing it. And we have actually some really awesome videos all on house training on our channel. So if you haven't checked those out, they would definitely go into much greater detail in many of the tips that I've just given you. But that would be where I would start.
Quick for Mary Lecce. Had thunder lightning the other day. Our pup didn't like it and just kept barking. How do you stop this? We have a couple of videos on the channel specific to that thunder lightning. We also just created, you'll see McCann Dog's music. We created a music channel. One of the videos on there is specifically made for thunderstorms. And it has the majority, when we're working with the composer, the majority are low tones that fill the room, fill the environment with some of those low tones to mask some of the rumbling. So two opportunities for you. Use the McCann Dog's music channel. Find the thunderstorm video specifically. But also, we've got some great videos on the channel that talk about how to work through that. Some of the ways to like soothe your dog.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take a step back, because I know you guys have, there's lots of interesting challenges that I see coming through the chat, but specific to this time of year, when we're talking about a spring training plan, you might notice that all of a sudden your puppy's having more accidents in the house. Maybe because the environment's changed outside, they get distracted. Remember, the puppy doesn't know that you're taking them outside. Well, two things. Number one, you're going to have to go out with them to make sure they go, especially this time of year. You're going to want to supervise that whole exercise as you go out until they do their business. That way, you'll also know if they haven't gone and you've come back inside that, you know, they've got a loaded bladder. We're going to have to keep a close eye on them, maybe pop them back in their crate. But this is what I want you to start thinking. I'm going to change the way you think about, you know, your dog's bad behavior tonight. What are the reasons that they're struggling, especially if they had some idea of what the skill was before? So specific to puppy house training and potty training, whatever you call it. I know if we say puppy potty training too many times, I think the stream will shut off. But specific to puppy house training, don't be surprised if, because maybe your puppy's never seen grass. Yeah. You know, you live in a snowy area and this is all brand new. These new sights and smells and sounds, lots of new animals. But maybe your puppy's getting distracted when they're out. So by the time you come back in with them, or Maybe you're just letting them out the back door, terrible idea, and then you're bringing them back in. They didn't even have a chance to go yet. So be aware of that. So let's talk a little bit about some of the puppy challenges that we see this time of year as the seasons change, as they're presented with more challenges with training.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to say one thing before we get going as I see the chat going. When we have lots of people on the chat, lots of people like to share experiences and give suggestions and whatnot, which is awesome. But I just want to make sure everybody knows that anybody who is highlighted in blue is a McCann instructor. So, you know, their advice or their suggestions on how to fix something or how to answer something definitely will be in line with the McCann method because they are one of us. Just keep that in mind because there are a few little suggestions and things happening in the chat are not in line with our methodologies, which is totally fine. You are welcome to have your own opinion. Yeah. But I just want to make sure that if you're reading this and you're looking for answers and you know trust our you know expertise, make sure you check the people in the blue. I just want to make sure I steered that direction.
21 time world champion dog trainer right there.
Yes. Seriously. anyways,
puppy challenges this time.
Puppy challenges. I think something that's important to remember with puppies, with seasons, but also just with age, is I think sometimes people get very comfortable with the young puppies because they often don't behave the same way as a slightly older puppy. They're not as confident. They follow us around a little bit more naturally. They lean into us a little bit more. And then all of a sudden we're in spring and we think, oh, my puppy's so good. They don't go anywhere. I don't need to hold the leash. Or, you know, my puppy has a recall. And then you put them into a new situation where there's, you know, just more animals out, like all of the things we listed before. There's so many distractions. Yeah. And then we're frustrated with the puppy because they're just constantly getting into mischief. They're picking things up. They're running away. They're sniffing. They're not listening. And that leads to frustration. But what we need to remember is that when we have a puppy, we can't really get frustrated with things that we haven't taught our puppies to do or not to do yet. So when we have a young puppy, it's important that we are setting them up to be successful. And we're going to go over that, you know, as the chat goes on. But we want to try and make sure that the puppies learn that sort of we're the center of their world. We're the ones that are influencing what they do and what they don't do. So just remember that as the, you know, spring comes or things change and your puppy starts to get a little older, it's really normal for them to be like, I don't really need you anymore. I'm 4 months old now, or I'm 6 months old now. And that really is where things can get frustrating. But that's actually the more important time for you to double down on your training and to get in there and prevent some of those things from happening to the best of your ability.
I just noticed the bait pouches. We just got bait pouches back in stock. We've been out of stock forever. We're having some challenges really getting the pouches that we wanted. And I noticed, I just remembered as I saw the thing on the live stream, they're available now. So anybody that had like a pre-order or was waiting on your order, check your email inbox.
They're also, so nice.
If you're on the live stream tonight, we have a brand new store, so you guys can go check it out. McCannDogs.store. It's brand new, first night launching it tonight. We wanted you guys to get in there, you know, take a look around, let us know what you think. We're excited for you to check it out. You briefly touched on some age stuff, and I think it's also really important that we look at our dog's age, especially if you have a dog in training. You know, they're likely a little bit younger unless you, again, you've taken in a rehomed dog. And a lot of these exercises you're going to go through again. But someone asked in the chat, like, what is adolescence? You know, what does that period look like? And there's actually a couple of learning thresholds, ages that we should talk about when it comes to puppy training and dog training, that it presents some even bigger challenges this time of year for your spring training plan. And that is 4 months and 7 months. Let's talk about the idea that your puppy, you are the center of your dog's world for like those first 4 months, in and around that. Like their world is very small.
And this isn't exactly, these are just general guidelines because every puppy is different. Yeah. So if your 10-month-old puppy is doing some of the things that we're talking about, not weird.
Totally. Well, yeah, that's a good point. Everyone's like, oh, he said 4 months. I'm going to write that down.
And people like very specific things. We have to remember that dog training is fluid and there's lots of different things that happen. Yeah. But these are good. These are great guidelines.
For sure. So so you might notice, number one, as your dog's world starts to expand around that 4-month mark. And also there's changing environment. You know, you've been out there with them every time for potty training or whatever, and it's there haven't been all these distractions. Well, now your puppy's now finding a little bit more independence. You know, your puppy's a little bit more interested in the squirrels that run by, if you have squirrels where you live, you know, or whatever the animals. I was talking to somebody the other day.
Our dogs are really into like twigs.
Right. Yeah. Now. Or rabbit poop. Oh, you know, that might be something. Yeah. But these are some of the challenges that you're going to discover. So as we talk about, you know, those puppies learning the thresholds of age, 4 months is a really important one because your dog's world has just expanded. And if that world is now with these blooming flowers and you know, emerging animals that they haven't seen before, it's going to present some unique challenges for you. The other one is 7 months. Can we talk a little bit about 7 months and some of the challenges that someone might have around that 7 months?
Yeah, mark? 7 months, even up into a year, is what we would deem as like adolescence, basically. So, you know, when the dog gets a little bit bigger, when they get a little bit stronger, also they've had 7 months of rehearsing certain things. So sometimes the behaviors, whether they're good or whether they're bad, start to get solidified because the dog's been doing it for quite some time. So, you know, if they are, you know, outside, you know, looking for animals constantly or picking up things constantly or barking at the person that's going past the driveway, and that's been happening for 7 months, those things become harder to change. Of course, you can change them, but it takes a lot more detailed training. It's really normal for a lot of dogs to go through an adolescent phase because they start to test the waters a little bit, test the boundaries. They start to wonder whether the rules are still the same as they've become a little bit more worldly and a little bit more confident, maybe a little bit more independent. So, and unfortunately, right around that time of right around that age, it's also a time where people are starting to get itchy to, you know, take their dogs more places and give them more off-leash freedom. They're a little bit more excited about giving them less, you know, crate time at home, or, you know, just loosening the ropes. We think we're 7 months old, we've done lots of things, like let's loosen the ropes. And that happens at the same time where the dog says, I might think that this is a good time to test the water. So you just have to be aware that a lot of puppies will and dogs will go through little humps and bumps along the way, and it's really important that we learn the proper ways to work through these in order to, you know, get through without a lot of problems. They're quite impressionable times in your puppy's life, and if you're giving them the wrong information, you can really set yourself down a path that's not going to be very enjoyable. So it's important to know about those ages, and it's important to knowing what to do when you have puppies of that age as well.
Yeah, I was a little distracted. You talked about them rehearsing all the bad stuff, you know, and getting bigger and stronger, which presents a new challenge. You know, those are really important points, and you don't, because you're spending so much time with your puppy, sometimes you forget that.
Yeah.
You know, you forget that, like, oh boy, you know, he's had 3 months of rehearsing the bad stuff, and now I've decided that I want to go on nice walks, maybe because it's nicer, it's not freezing cold outside. Yeah. Now I've decided that I want to go out with them and whatever, do play fetch, do something. And I'm getting this weird behavior where your dog doesn't really know the skill yet. But we just have this expectation that because he's pretty good at this other thing, that he'll be great at whatever your new expectation is. Go ahead.
I just want to speak to something in the chat with Sue Kay, who's one of our students, actually, online students. Can you speak to how long these stages last with and without training? Will they come out of it on their own?
Question.
I think
that
this is a really good question. Not so specific to like seasons, but I think it's very specific to like the age and the adolescence and the changing of mindset that we're sort of talking about. So it is hard to say how long they last, Sue, because it is sort of dependent on the dog, and it's also dependent on the person and the dog. So to give you an example, you know, we have a young 15-month-old puppy, and I would say that he went through an adolescent stage, and I would say it was probably around 7 months, wasn't it, where he started to just be like, do I have to? But the adolescent stage for me, being a professional dog trainer who has seen it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times and knows exactly what to do, it lasted about 2 weeks. And then, boom, he was right back on track. But prior to going into the adolescent phase, he had a ton of training, he had a ton of foundational skills, when I see things start to slip or I see him start to test the waters, I don't let it go into this big thing. I can fix it quickly. That's with a very experienced person and a very well-trained dog. Most people will struggle for it a little bit longer because usually what happens is they don't see it happening early enough. A problem starts to, you know, rear its ugly head and we don't really do anything about it, maybe because we don't realize it's an issue or we don't know what to do or maybe our expectations are low and that turns into a bigger thing and then it's harder to fix. What I will say, Sue, which is interesting, you said, will they come out of it on their own? No, they won't, especially when it comes to behaviors that are super self-rewarding. So if it has to do with like digging, chasing, barking, pulling, anything that the dog is going to get self-reinforcement out of, and that becomes like the way that they get their enjoyment, and it's not through doing things for you and listening to you, then those dogs will be pullers forever. They'll bark obsessively forever or whatever it will be. And what's so unfortunate is those dogs tend to have a less fun life because now we can't take the dog's places. Yeah, so totally. Dogs don't grow out of it. They don't grow out of it or go past it. Obviously, as dogs get older, you know, some things will naturally, the dog's going to have less energy as the thing goes over. But some of the behavioral issues that can arise as a young dog absolutely can continue. We see it happen. We see people that come to us when their dog is, you know, 15, 2 years old, and now all of a sudden they want to fix their problem, which is great. It's great that you're finally making that decision, but it is much harder to fix something that's been rehearsed for a really long time, especially if the dog sort of says, okay, I have a pretty good sense of what our relationship is, and our relationship is, I don't really have to respect you or listen to you. So I think that that's a really good question. And if they don't have training and if you don't know what you're doing, it can be pretty challenging.
It's a nice transition into, we're always enrolling people in our online life skills, online Puppy Essentials program. If you would like to join us for like weekly calls, mm-hmm. so that you're not frustrated, wondering what on earth am I supposed to be training next? How on earth am I supposed to stop this problem behavior? Life skills for dogs, 4 months and older, and Puppy Essentials.
4 months and older, yep. Under four months. Yeah, and actually we do weekly coaching calls with everybody in the program, and they're really, really fun, and we have different topics. And one of the topics that we talk about is actually adolescence.
Right.
We talk about leadership. We talk about barking. We talk about all kinds of things where we'll deep dive.
Because it's frustrating.
And then we answer everybody's questions. It's a little bit different than what we do here.
This is an important point. It speaks to spring training specifically because you have an expectation. Okay, go ahead.
No, it's okay because
I might forget as well. You have some expectation, and if your dog starts to find something else valuable that isn't you, remember, we're trying to bring them into a human world, and it's not naturally rewarding to walk in at our side. That's what we're using food. You know, that's why we're using motion and voice. That's why we use all those things. It's not naturally rewarding to come in, to run back to you when they're chasing a deer, across the road or down the street or whatever situation it is. So we have to figure out how to keep those dogs motivated to listen to us. And if in an absence of information, especially when we talked about, you know, I saw people saying like, oh, my dog is digging all the time, or my dog is constantly
eating
poop. Well, if it feels good to the dog, then it's the right choice. In an absence of information, if it feels good, that's the right thing. So when it comes to your spring training plan, it's important that you identify these little tiny challenges, or maybe they feel like big challenges. I get it. I've been there. I was a student once too. But it's important that you identify them and then come up with some ideas, or, you know, maybe you're working with us, or, you know, whatever. You plan out, these are the things I want to take on today. This is the thing I want to take on this week. By the end of the month, I've set a goal. I want to have a great recall. I want to have a great response to name so that when he goes over to the rabbit poop, I can call him back. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about. But the rehearsal is a problem. Let's talk about
first?
Yep.
Just because I wanted to give these guys like something tangible to like hold on to, because I think we keep talking about all these problems, but we haven't really given like a specific example on what to do. So I want to tell you about an issue that I've actually worked on with my own dogs. And that is, I mentioned this earlier, Twigs. And so you can replace Twigs with whatever issue your dog is having. But, you know, for me, we have a young dog, and he has become obsessive in the last little bit about going outside. And it usually happens late at night when Ken and I want the dogs to pee and come back inside to go to bed. Instead of going for a pee, he just wants to look for little tiny twigs, and he wants to eat them. Now, number one, he's not going to the bathroom, and I don't want to stand out there for 10 years. I want him just to do his thing. Number two, if he's swallowing those things, I don't want him to get an upside belly. Yeah. I don't want him to get hurt. So there's lots of reasons why I don't want it to happen. So in terms of, so say this is an issue, well, what the heck do you do about it? Because going outside and just saying like, leave it, and me getting angry and more frustrating while he continues to go from that twig to that twig to that twig doesn't actually affect, that was really hard to say. doesn't actually affect change. It's not productive. It's not teaching him to do what I want him to do. It's not teaching him to respect me. And I'm not gaining anywhere. So if what I have been doing with him is two things. Number one is you can work. So what I'm looking for him to do is that if he goes towards a twig, as he will do, because he is a dog, he's not a robot, and he may go towards twigs for his whole life. But my goal is that when he goes towards it, I can say, five, leave it. Literally in that tone, leave it, go hurry up. All I wanna do is say it once. I wanna be able to say it calm like that. And I want him to say, right, mom, got it, no problem. He leaves it, he goes and does his business. That is my goal. So there's two ways that I'm gonna go around fixing my problem. Number one is, before I start using this leave it concept, I need to have trained him to understand what the expectation of leave it is outside of being in the yard late at night when I want him to pee. So maybe I set it up in the living room. Maybe I set it up in the driveway. Maybe I work through teaching him what the word leave it is, with maybe a lower value distraction and me having a high value reward, teaching him that leaving things and coming to me and listening is a lot of fun. Maybe I take the twigs that he wants to and I put them in a little pile in the driveway and I put them on leash and I practice leave it while I'm 15 feet from the twigs. So right. He can't even get there until I can work up really close, until he thinks this whole twig game is really cool and connecting with me is actually more rewarding than going to the twig. So that would be the training, that would be the controlling, that would be building value for the word. That if I do that, I'm probably going to have more success in the backyard. However, if I do that, that's a great training session. And then later that night, he's off leash and he's out in the thing. And I say, leave it. And he says, I don't know if that's good enough yet. And he goes back to it. And I have no way of following through. All my training's erased. So I also need to make sure that I am preventing and I have good control. So maybe he's on leash. Maybe he's on a long line, so that as we're out for our late night pee and he starts to go towards the twigs, I can utilize that word leave it, and then I can immobilize him to go to the twig by moving him away with the leash or the long line. And when he moves in my direction, yay, that's better, good boy. And then we can go from there. I'm not going to go out and pick up every single twig off of the floor. That is just not a realistic thing. Yes, there are some situations where I could maybe remove the distraction and make my life a little bit easier. That's not the case in this scenario. So what I'm saying here is that we need to train the skill. We need to build the value and the understanding in a completely controlled environment where I can do 10, 15, 20 reps in a row and really get my dog understanding my expectation. And then with that, I need to make sure that in that real life situation, I have good follow through, I have good timing, and I'm not just letting things go out the window. The combination of those two things are going to get me to the point that I can go outside, he looks at a twig or gets distracted, and I can say, five, leave that. And he just listens and he goes to the bathroom, and I don't have to have a leash. I don't have to have rewards, nothing. But if I don't do the work and I keep going outside and I keep getting frustrated and I keep repeating myself a million times, I'm not going to accomplish my goal. And I'm also being a little bit wishy-washy with my leadership, which I don't want to do either. So I wanted to give you a specific example. But like I said, you can use this with whatever the situation is. Yeah, think about the training. Think about the prevention.
Imagine, what would it feel like to have access to that sort of information 6 days a week? Okay? I remember feeling this as a student. I'm like, she's right.
Well, because sometimes you just don't know what to do.
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
How to do it.
For sure.
Or how to set it up, how to proof something. And, you know, our training is really about like We don't just want to tell the dog stuff because they don't know what that means. We need to teach the dog and we need to build value for the thing that we want them to do so that the thing that they want them that they want to do themselves isn't the cool thing anymore.
Denise, important question. Yes, it doesn't matter if it sticks. It doesn't matter if it's poop. It doesn't matter what the thing is. If there's a thing, stationary thing, this is these are some of the steps that you're going to take.
Yeah.
It's so funny because we're so literal thinking that like, well, okay, if it applies to sticks, does that apply to cats? Or, you know, does it apply to like my shoes? But yes. So I want to distill down a little. I mean, I want to make it just simpler and short, concise. Kale talked about three important things there. Four, I guess. One, identify the problem. Huge step in your spring training plan. Mm-hmm. Identify the problem. The next one is management. Yes. Managing the situation. You don't give your dog access to that thing because, again, as we talked about earlier, they're going to find it rewarding. Mm-hmm. It feels nice to chew on the sticks. It feels nice to chase to eat the poop.
Yeah.
Training. Like having... training through it, working on your response to name, working on, you know, that leave it command, which we talk a lot about. We have a couple of videos that talk a little bit about it too. But
we work a lot on leave it inside our programs.
Right, absolutely, for sure. But we do have stuff on YouTube as well. Yeah, yeah. A little bit more bland, a little more vanilla. But so we've got problem, management, training, and the important one, consistency. So if you've gone and worked your butt off at the park and your dog's leaving those distractions alone, and then the next time you go, you're like, man, I just want to like take his leash off and let him run around in the baseball diamond.
I don't want to deal with this right now.
Right, for sure. Terrible information for your dogs.
Gotta be consistent.
Not good consistency. So, you know, that moment of reinforcement may have just undone all the praise and the treats and the whatever you use to build value on you to get the thing that you want. So if you're really serious about changing this, then you need to follow those five steps. Identify, manage, train through it, and then be consistent. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's the hardest part.
It is.
Let's talk a little bit. Oh, actually, Cat Calico, one of our Heart Dog supporters, who has a fun name to say, Cat Calico.
Yeah.
Had a great point talking about landscaper. So many people are out with dogs and bees again. There's so many distractions. Let's talk a little bit.
And then she also said squirrels, sticks, birds, all of the things.
So let's talk a little bit about getting your dog used to that environment. Mm-hmm. What exercise would you do if landscapers were out when, you know, if you're at home and, you know, landscapers are across the street and your dog's like, wow, that looks really exciting, or bees, or, you know, other dogs.
Yeah.
You know, let's do, you know, a step-by-step for a couple of skills that you might work on.
Yeah. You know, if there was, you know, new people around, or I haven't had a chance to do this because my timing keeps missing out, but there's a few, Ken and I at home, we live near a school, so there's certain times of the day where in our area, it starts to get really busy with people, and people going to pick up their kids, and there's lots going on. And, you know, that's a great opportunity to go out and work some training with my dog, get him around some more distractions. But what I wouldn't do is when you're around some of these things is I wouldn't necessarily go right into the thick of things with your puppy or your dog. It doesn't matter the age, so that what you're going to ask them to do becomes too challenging because you're overfacing them. There is such thing as too many distractions and overfacing your puppy. And you need to kind of, this is where you need to kind of know your dog quite well. You need to know what their threshold is, and you need to know what type of motivators work well for you and for your dog. So to the workers, for example, if I saw workers outside, I would probably go outside. I would have my dog on leash. If I thought that this could be a pretty big challenge, I would probably arm myself with some pretty high value rewards, be that a food, maybe even a toy of some sort. We use both food and toy as a reward for our dogs. And then I would start out working on some basic listening skills. Sit at my side, response to name, down, settle, sit. Maybe a bit of casual movement, leash respect, those types of things. And I would do it at a distance where my dog is going to be aware of the distraction, but it's really easy for him to choose me.
Yeah.
So that he goes, okay, I see that thing over there, but like, ooh, this thing's kind of fun. You're engaging with me. That's great. And then from there, I could decide, I'm going to quit while I'm ahead, and then maybe we'll come back tomorrow and do a bit more. Or I'm going to make it a little bit more challenging. Maybe that could be going closer to the distraction. Maybe that's rewarding a little bit less frequently and seeing if I can, you know, establish a bit more independence, whatever the situation might be, I would make some small progressions. But I want to go into it with the intent of training and not just going, okay, there's a person outside, I'm going to take my dog out there. I need to go out with a purpose and be ready to either help, to follow through, to change what I'm doing, to adapt something to have success, or maybe it's pull the plug. Maybe you go out your side and you're like, okay, this was like not a good choice for me to do.
Yep.
So don't keep bashing your head against the wall. Just, you know, change what you're doing, because you have to remember rehearsal is rehearsal. It doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. If you would do the same thing over and over and over and over again, that's rehearsal. And then that starts to solidify the dog's behavior. So whether you're in the rehearsal should be good, not bad. But sometimes if it's bad, you need to get going so that you're not letting that happen too many times. I actually had a cool dog training thing that I did today, but it's a bit unrelated to this. But
let's come back to it. This moment, Kale talked about a skill that I would argue is the most important. If you take nothing else away from tonight's show and you're just here to have fun, you know, maybe you're here to ask lots of questions, but I want you to take this away. The sitting at your side may be the single most powerful tool in your toolbox when you've got it figured out, when you've learned how to teach it, because it gets your dog, although they may be still distracted, it gives you a moment to like bring things down a bit. It's an easily controllable situation. And now all you have to do, once you've built some value for that sitting at your side on a loose leash, is find the distance, find the right distance when you can consistently be successful. I remember as a student at McCann Dogs in grade Life Skills 1, learning to sit at my side changed everything for my dog, because I went there with a black lab who I thought would just grow out of it, grow out of pulling me down the street. And I, as a trainer, after 15 years, I learned very quickly that that is not the case. But what I learned was that when I can like slow things down a moment, I am ready for nearly every situation that I'll encounter. So if I can get her to sit at my side as the world goes by, if I can get her to sit at my side on a walk as someone goes by, or maybe it's as the butterfly floats around, whatever the thing is, if I can build value and history of reinforcement for sitting at my side, boy oh boy, it will give you so many opportunities to like course correct when you feel like things are starting to get out of control. The key is the distance.
Yeah.
Kale talked a little bit about using high value food, and I know a lot of people who are like, oh, cookie trainers, I don't want my dog to listen.
I don't want to be dependent on food.
Right. Neither do we. This is the important part of using the McCann method. It's the important part of like all of the steps of training that you're going to do with your dog. You're right. We don't want to be using food forever, but it's a timing thing. And actually, I might have a clip for reward timing. I don't think it's important right now. But using the high-value food up front might be the thing that gets you that little bit of extra attention for whatever the situation is. Maybe it's an in-motion exercise. Maybe it's a response to name. Maybe it's leash walking, whatever. But over time, your dog's going to start to learn that, you know, you're rewarding less frequently, and you've got the behavior started, your dog's starting to respond well. Now you're using lower value treats and less of them. So I don't want you to think like, I don't really want to use food because I don't want to use food forever. You're right. We don't want you to use food forever either. But at this point, if you feel like, man, my dog's just not listening, I'm really struggling, then a change in your dog's food, what you're using for reward, can make a massive difference.
Ugh, I just see this so much.
Totally.
When people come to class and it's early in the program, even though we tell them, bring high value treats, bring lots of different types of treats. This is so important. This is so important. And then people show up with their kibble or their biscuits or their Cheerios.
Yeah.
And the dogs are like, you are not fun.
Totally.
And, you know, we will give them something higher value. And then all of a sudden the dog's like, huh, maybe I do want to do something for you. So in the beginning stages, we need to use something that is going to motivate the dog to want to do the work. And then, you know, our training methods are about teaching you the proper steps to become opposite word of dependent?
Independent.
Independent.
Yeah, independent of food.
That's not really what I'm looking for, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, to not need it.
Yeah, to not need the food. We also work towards not needing a long line. We're also working towards not needing to have a leash on our dogs in some situations. If that is the goal, and if it's done in a specific way, then you will not be dependent on any of those things to control your dog. But in the early stages, we need to motivate the dog. We need to give reinforcement in a different way so that our dogs are not finding finding natural reinforcement with some of these, you know, annoying behaviors that we have, pulling, barking, all of the things we listed before.
Yeah, so let's take that idea and make it, apply it to the situation you might be having right now. Number one, okay, you know you have a problem. Or even if you're not sure, this is another important one. If you're like, I'm not really sure if he's going to respond if I let him out the back door and then call him in after, then don't let that situation happen. Remember, if your dog gets to rehearse the bad stuff, they're likely going to do it again. You don't want them to ever think that there's an option, because maybe that one time that you call them is crucial. It could be life-saving. We talk about this and we see this. I've had this experience with my recall. So now you are going to the park and you're going for a walk, you're doing your thing that you want to learn about tonight. You're doing that thing and you're like, boy, I'm going to struggle. So you've prepared yourself with the management part. You've got a leash. Maybe you've got a long line. Maybe your skill is like your dog gets, a little bit farther away from you and they start to like just stop paying attention. You've got your long line. You've got some great treats. And this is the point when you think, okay, you do your response to name or whatever and it doesn't work. You have to identify, okay, perfect. Training moment. I have a training moment. Now, what this means is that every time you're going to spend over the next few months, however long it takes to train through it, maybe it's a couple days, maybe it's a couple weeks, whatever the time is, that every single time this thing happens, instead of worrying about finishing your walk or worrying about completing whatever task isn't related to training, that's out the window. This moment for you is all about the training, the not listening when you call, the not sitting still when you've asked, the no response to name. All of these moments are training moments, but you need to think in your head, okay, I've identified a problem. Now it's time to train through it. The key is having that management ready so that your dog can't leave you, so that you're ready, so that they don't reinforce by running down the block, four blocks over, and then you've got to go get in your car and go catch them.
Yeah. One thing that's really important to know about dog training, regardless of what skill you're trying to work on or work through, is that dogs do have a very specific learning time frame. They need information really rapidly, really in the moment. And, when we're trying to stop natural rewards from happening, or if we're trying to be the one influencing a change of behavior or reinforcement, we do need to have good timing. Otherwise, you can rehearse it all you want, but if you're not giving them good, clear information in the way that they need it, you're not going to affect change. And we need to remember that dogs are dogs. They are not humans. They learn very differently than us. I could say to Ken, hey, remember, earlier on February 13th when you did that thing and blah, 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 blah.
Why did you pick the day before Valentine's Day?
I was going to say the 14th, and then I was like, well, that's weird to pick. I don't know. It just happened. But anyways, you can do that. You can backtrack. You can go. Dogs really, they live really in the moment, and especially when it comes to self reinforcement thing. So we need to make sure that we're being really thoughtful and intentional about the situations that we're putting our dogs in. And if we suspect that it could be a challenging one, we need to go into that situation with a plan, with a game plan, with some tools, physical or not physical, to help us get through that situation a little bit more easily. And all of the things that we're talking about, like this adolescent thing, this age thing, all of this stuff, this is just during our teaching phase. So, when your dog gets trained, you don't have to worry about long lines and treats and all of these totally different things. Yeah. We have one dog that's in training, although I would say he's pretty well trained now at 15 months old.
But
and we're aware, we make sure he stays on track. But, the other dogs that we have, it's a little bit maintenance here and there, but for the most part, we get to give them everything on a silver platter. We're not as worried about certain things because they've been through all kinds of situations, and they've learned the ropes, and they've been reinforced, and they've been redirected and corrected for certain things when they were learning. And then we put in all that hard work, and now we get to coast and enjoy so many great things 100%. With them. So I sometimes think it's important to say that, because we talk about this and some people are like, oh my God, this is so much work. This seems overwhelming. There's a lot to do.
But so worth it.
It is so worth it. When your dog's 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, you don't even remember this. Yeah. And then you get a puppy and then you're like, oh my God.
What did I do?
Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot that I did all of this stuff. Yeah. So you got to put the work in now, because it makes such a big difference later on for the type of dog that you're going to have. And you are going to want to spend more time with your dog when they are just a more well-balanced dog overall.
100%. Mary H., thank you for the super sticker. Welcome back to the train station, Mary. I've got a super chat. I wanted to point out something. I know there's some people that are, maybe the skill hasn't completely fallen apart. What do you do if you get out? You know, how can you, we talk a lot about being proactive trainers. You know, we're planning ahead. We're figuring out what the mistake the dog might make, and we're not letting them make that mistake. So what might you do if you're going for your first walk of the season when the kids are out, or the first walk of the season that's, or, you know, whatever, your fifth walk of the season, but it's not quite as great as it used to be? What are some proactive steps that you might be taking if you're going out for a walk and you feel like, I have a dog in training, how am I going to make the most of this?
I think you should probably be aware of like the three D's. So the three D's are distance, duration, distraction. So if you are out for a walk and it's been going pretty well, and then all of a sudden you think, I seem to be struggling a little bit more, think about, like, you know, maybe you need to reduce how long your walk is, so that, you know, maybe your dog does great for like 5 or 10 minutes, and then they lose focus or they get a bit more distracted. Maybe you're going to go less, you know, don't go as far. Maybe spend a little bit more time at home in the backyard tiring the dog out, and then go for a nice short little walk where it like goes really great. Maybe you need to go at a different time of day when there's less distractions out, there's less busyness, there's less energy out there while you're walking. Maybe you need to bring higher value treats when you go so that you don't have to compete so hard. What ones did I do? Duration. Distance and duration is sort of the same thing in this one.
Yeah,
but you could spend 20 minutes out with your dog, but just spend it near your house.
Yeah,
don't
go
for this big long walk where you're going to get into trouble.
Short and sweet. Keep it great.
I might also too, like the border collie that we had for training a year or so ago, she was doing really great, and then she figured out that she was a border collie and she was really interested in cars as she got a bit more adolescent. She was also, remember how excited she was when like birds would, you know, hop across the road.
Yeah.
And so for her, I actually started using a gentle leader, like a head collar with her. And gosh, it made just the world of difference. And, you know, I had such more of a loose leash. I spent more time telling her she was right rather than, you know, turning and moving for her pulling. So, you know, a change of equipment can also make a big difference. So there's lots of things that you can change, but what you don't want to do is just keep doing the same things when it's not going in the direction you want it to.
Absolutely.
Then it's harder to fix.
For sure. There's something I was just thinking about, and now it's, you might find that this time of year you step out the door and, or, you know, you've taken the elevator down and you're leaving the apartment, and because the world's so different, your dog is completely going crazy. You just can't get a win. And I want you to remember that if you're starting your walk and you can't get a win, then the walk can't begin. Walking is not the best way to exercise your dog. And if you're at a point, that point in your training where you're really struggling with relationship and getting some attention on you, things like playing tug, short games of fetch with when you have a line on, doing some restrained recalls, that's the kind of exercise you need to be doing. I would say...
We have some good videos on that.
So we do lots of videos, yeah. I would say more people struggle with leadership problems than skills, because the dog's just not that interested in them, because now the competing distractions in the environment are way more interesting. The possibility of getting to that bird or that other dog is better than the sure thing of hanging out with you, because you've never shown them, given them the choice, and then rewarded them for the great choice. One thing I want to mention, Debbie Dew, thank you for the super sticker. You guys turn the light screen in here. You know, you control the lights, which is very cool. Thank you for the super sticker. I'm going to get to Regan Jacob's super chat here in just a moment. I felt like you wanted to say something, though.
I did, but I have forgotten what it was now.
Oh, okay. Hey, train station moves pretty quickly.
What was I going to say?
Super chat from Regan. We can come back to it. You'll probably remember. Regan says, I'd be really interested in hearing about how to manage a doggo that has started showing urges on things and doesn't listen in that state. First things first, we need to talk about a house line and the value when you get a nuisance behavior in the house. Maybe it's outside. Mm-hmm. We're going back to the management step, Regan, but I know this is something that we talk about in puppy essentials classes.
Yeah, it's certainly important to make sure that you have a way to manage the dog quickly, you know, efficiently, clearly, all of those things. So I think a house line is a really great suggestion. So a house line is it's a leash that we use in the house with the dog every single moment that they are out of their crate.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. Make sure you, we highly recommend that you utilize a crate so that you have some time to do your own thing. And also the dog's not rehearsing bad behaviors without you being able to address it. But when the dog is out of its crate, then you can have some type of house leash or line on, which means when the puppy goes to do anything that you don't like, you can first use your voice to have good timing, because again, the ultimate goal is that we can use our voice and the dog will stop whatever they're doing that we don't like. But in the early stages, I'm going to use my voice to say, you know, leave it or cut it out or knock it off or whatever word you want to use. I would just avoid using the word no if you can. And then I would use the house line to redirect the dog away from what they're doing and then get them doing something that's a bit more productive. And in this situation, if your puppy's, you know, going towards you or certain objects, what you can do is, you know, take some control, make the puppy sit, do a controlled sit at the side. That's a great exercise to get the dog you know, listening a bit more, put you back in the driver's seat, maybe ask them for a moment of attention and get a little bit more connection from your dog. And then from there, rather than releasing them back to go do their own thing, have them go and lie on a bed and chew a bone or pop in their crate for a few minutes. Never angry, but just break the cycle so that that the dog's not rehearsing that bad behavior. But you need to give yourself some management skills and tools so that it's easy to follow through without repeating yourself a million times, without saying something and then not actually having any follow through, to ensure that you have good timing, good clarity, you're being calm and cool when you're doing it. All of those things are going to really teach the dog to be a bit more respectful.
I want to grab this comment from Gerdberg. I also kind of wanted to just say Gerdberg. My lab's biggest distraction is people. He just loves meeting them. And this is a common thing that people say. Like, my dog's biggest distraction is people. My dog's biggest distraction is other dogs. My dog's biggest distraction is, doesn't matter what that is, what are you not going to do from this point forward? Because you want your dog's biggest distraction to be you. You want your dog's attention to be, it's all about you. Mm-hmm. So you can't let them go and say hello to other people unless it's on your terms. This is an important moment in your training, because when we talk about these leadership opportunities, I mean, it doesn't even need to be a confrontational way. Like, you start to get attention and you don't allow them to go see that other person until they've reached a point in their training. We have a great video on this. We work on this a lot in our programs, mm-hmm. about sit and accept praise. So, you can work through this exercise where that person, you say like, okay, hold on, I actually have a dog in training. And when you say that, people are always like, oh, I can't wait to help you out, especially if they're dog lovers. They're like, oh yeah, I'll help you train. So you have your dog sitting at your side, you're rewarding them, you're doing all the things right, you're maintaining that sit, and then the person can introduce themselves. But if your dog starts to decide that, like, ooh, this person looks like fun, and you allow them to go out ahead of you and jump up on the person and have a blast, and the person's high, squeaky voice, that's all the reward that they need. Now, you've got a problem, because you've just shown your dog that it's really fun to lead out ahead of me. It's really fun to pull on the leash, because when you get to that person, they're probably going to be squeaky and be lots of fun, and you get to jump
pet
up.
You and
absolutely.
Clap their hands and be exciting. It's just so reinforcing.
Totally. Absolutely. So when we're talking about a spring training plan, it might be taking a couple of steps back in your training. If you were going, 100 feet without having to reward your dog, if there was a certain street where you wouldn't have to reward your dog, I want you to be proactive and think ahead. Because the new interesting challenges are out there, you're going to work a little bit harder to reinforce those great choices along the way. And you're going to start to see that you're not struggling with the environment anymore, because your dog knows that there's a possibility I could get to go to that dog, but it's a sure thing that I get rewarded, I get praised, I get maybe play mm-hmm. in your situation if I maintain some attention on you and mm-hmm. maintain that loose leash.
You know how you said about like trying to find natural training opportunities or...
I love this, yeah.
You know, working on... you know, building good things. So that's the story that I had. So it falls in line with that.
So just give some context to what's a natural training opportunity?
So a natural training opportunity is when a situation happens without you setting it up, you, rather than just doing the thing, you think like a dog trainer, and then you get into dog training mode, and then you work through that problem right in real time to teach your dog to make better choices in the future. So one of the issues that is recently been coming up with our young dog is he is going through a bit of like a spooky period in his crate when people that he doesn't know come up to my vehicle. And so today I went to pick up groceries, and I pulled up to pick up the groceries, and I'd order them, and the person came out with the groceries. And when the person came out, he saw them, and he was in a crate in my vehicle, and he started to bark at her. And so I knew this was going to happen because this has been happening. So I was standing near where his crate was with the door open, and I told him to be quiet, and I gave his little bang on the crate, and he stopped. And then I threw some treats in there, and she put the groceries in the car, and I continued to reward him. And as she walked away, there was no other cars around, I said, "Hey, my dog's in training. Do you have like 2 seconds to help me with something?" And then she's like, "Okay." So I got Five out of the car with a leash and my treats, and I did some sit and accept praise. Oh, I had him sit. I had her come in, pet him. I had her feed him. And it took about 3 seconds for him to go, "Oh, this is cool."
Yeah.
And he was wagging his tail. Like, he's not afraid of people, but it's just those new situations, which means the next time I go to that scenario, he's now had some really positive interactions and situations. He wasn't allowed to jump all over her. He wasn't allowed to bark at her. I gave him a skill that he was really, really comfortable with. We've done a lot, and I was able to reward it. So rather than just like letting him bark in the car and just saying to the person, "Sorry, my dog's bratty, he's barking in the car," and just ignoring it altogether, I thought, I'm going to take the one extra minute that it took me to do it to work through it to help better my dog's understanding of things. It was just such a great training opportunity that took no time at all. And she was like, "Anytime you want help with your puppy, you let me know." Like, she really enjoyed it.
Yeah, these natural training opportunities, they're going to come up multiple times during the day. If you're not doing them already, then you're missing out on great moments.
Yeah.
The natural training opportunities are the bridge between like the structured skills training and like the real world. Maybe it's a moment like your dog letting your dog out of their crate. Maybe you're putting your dog's food down and they have to sit and wait until you put their food down. Maybe it's down. Maybe it's going out the front door for your walks. I just thought about a natural training opportunity that we had. We had one of our dogs at one time was barking when people would come to the door. And we recognized as dog trainers, this was a natural training opportunity. And we set up the situation, tracking on the Uber tracker or whatever, the Eats thing. And we knew when the person was showing up, you know, it says like, "Oh, they're here." We started intensely training reward and no focus on the door, rewarding the dog for being quiet as the person came up the driveway. Kale was working hard, making sure that, you know, that dog didn't get distracted, didn't spook bark at the door.
Yeah.
I know that we're always looking. People are so, and I know a lot of people have issues with like, what do I do when somebody comes to the door? You can set it up, call your neighbor, get your spouse, you know, get somebody to come to the door, and then you guys plan it. The people are always looking to invest their money in something that's going to just solve the problem. Like, they just think if they feed their dog a certain thing, or they have a certain toy, or if they whatever, that it's going to fix the problem. The best investment that you can make is time and intent
and on learning fixing some about. Of these things. Training dogs.
Absolutely.
Learn about how to do the training, not about a certain thing. The more you learn about training, the easier it is. Once you know the formula, once you know the methods, then you're going to see this problem, this problem, this problem, and you're going to go, "Okay, well, here are the methods. Now I'll just apply it to this problem. Now I'll just apply it to this problem." That's literally the focus of our programs, is to teach you how to better navigate some of these things so that you're giving your dog good information and you're fixing your problems quickly and also building just such a great relationship with your dog. It makes such a difference when you start to give them information and they start to go, "Huh, you seem like you know what you're doing."
It really
makes them so much more bonded to you when they feel that way.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I want to say a huge thank you to our team that's been working on our new store page. Yeah.
Oh, were you just about to do that?
Yeah. So go check it out, mccanndocs.store. We've been had a team working hard on that, and it's looking really great. We have bait pouches back in stock. I know a lot of people have been waiting and saying, "When are your pouches back?" They're back. And if you were on pre-order, you'll have an email in your inbox. We're excited to be able to give you
not only are they back, but they've been updated, and they're a lot better.
Yeah. And we have more stuff in the pipeline.
We
am so excited to share with you guys. But a huge thank you to our moderators.
Can I say something unrelated?
Yep.
So Ken had mentioned before about me being an agility trainer. One of the things that's really cool that's happening this weekend, if any of you are local in Ancaster, Ontario, this weekend, myself and a bunch of my students from my agility program are trying out for Team Canada. And so we will be at this event all weekend, and they're flying, you know, all kinds of people from all over Canada are coming to this event. The best people in the whole country.
What are we going to do for our friends in New Zealand?
What's that?
Is there a live stream?
There is a live stream.
That's how you guys can join.
It'll be shared on our McCann Dogs Agility Instagram page, so you can check that out.
What are you guys talking about on Monday?
Oh, gosh.
Live streams for training.
Life skills. So the older age dogs, not really older, but is barking.
Okay.
And the puppy one is... exercising your puppy, basically ways to like tire your puppy out that are productive, I believe. I could be wrong.
So these are
Shannon and Robbie are the co-hosts of Monday.
Excited. Okay. Yeah, if you guys saw these guys in the chat, can join them on Monday. Now, with all of the teaching, all of the training, all of the things that we've talked about tonight, the rest, my friends, well, that is up to you.
We do these live streams to educate you, but more importantly, to motivate you. You can have the dog that you've always wanted, but it's just going to take you a little bit of work.
I would know, because I was just like you. Long before I became a dog trainer, I was a frustrated dog owner, but the skills that I learned at McCann's changed my life. Now, we have hundreds of videos here on our YouTube channel to help you to have a well-behaved four-legged family member.
But if you want someone to guide you through the dog training process, then you should check out our Puppy Essentials program for puppies under 6 months. If your dog is over 6 months, then you could join our Life Skills program, and our instructors are going to help to make sure that everything goes as smoothly as possible in a really supportive environment.
Now, all of the knowledge about dog training in the world won't help you to be successful unless you get up and you start training. The real question is, what are you going to train next?
Happy training.